John, we're at the winter meetings, and we got the bombshell we were expecting.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Judge flew in here, and he met with the Padres and mulled the Giants and the Yankees and decided to stay where he was with the Yankees. Makes sense for him. Certainly makes sense for the Yankees. They needed him.
It's just like Aaron Judge. He flew in and he flew out. Got the money in between. We're going to talk about his deal and what it means for the Yankees and the rest of the market. We're obviously going to talk Jake DeGrom, Justin Verlander, all free agency now and what it means moving forward if you stick with us on the show with Joel Sherman and John Heyman. John, anyone who's watching us on the Yes app is going to know that we're not sitting in a studio or in our hotel room or in our apartments. We're here at the winter meetings, and the winter meetings got shaken up in our time very, very early this morning when the news broke that Aaron Judge was indeed staying with the Yankees. 9 years, $360 million, $40 million per season makes him the highest paid per annum position player in the history of the game. And so let's ask the big question. What do you think?
Well, the Yankees need to get this done. I think it's a good deal. It's a logical deal. You know, I looked at some of these other deals. I'm shocked at the money that they're being thrown around, especially for the pitchers. This deal, I mean, it was a little bit over what we predicted, but, you know, in terms of what the other guys are getting and knowing that this guy set the record for home runs, I mean, they absolutely had to have him, and I think it's a very fair deal, 9 years, $360 million. I don't think I ever expected to say that sentence, but 3 years, 9 years, $360 million, very fair.
So let me ask that question before I have some thoughts on it, but why fair? Why do you use the word fair?
Well, they absolutely needed to have him, right? I mean, you know, there's no other replacement for him. There are other good players on the market, but the better players are shortstops. They're not Aaron Judge. They didn't hit 62 home runs, but they're also shortstops. They have good shortstops coming. That's the position they are most plentiful at. And, you know, I mean, there's obviously Carlos Rodon, who they're talking to. But, I mean, this is the best position player in the game. I mean, arguably the best player in the game. I guess a lot of people would say Ohtani, but certainly in the top two or three. And beyond being a great player, he made the team much more interesting.
Yeah, look, John, since the Moneyball era began in 2002, and this is the winter meetings again, if you're watching us on the Yes app, the business never stops here. Lots of news will go forward. We still have dozens and dozens of free agents. But, John, since Moneyball, we always think of the guy who runs baseball operations, the Billy Beanish kind of guy, as the most important person in the organization. That's just not true. The most important person in an organization is the owner. The owner here, Hal Steinbrenner, has in the last few years made decisions. I want this player. It was Gerrit Cole. It was keeping DJ LeMahieu. And in this situation, it was Aaron Judge. He got booed during the Derek Jeter ceremonies. It drove him nuts to distractions. He only got more criticism afterwards. Letting the most popular player, a homegrown player who just hit 62 homers, go felt impossible to him. And so I think it was an on-the-field decision. How do you begin to replace that player?
Right.
But I think it also was, he's our most popular player. We got the judges' chamber. If you watch the Yes Network, I mean, there's no advertising around anybody else. This is the guy they market around.
Sure.
So they are able to monetize some of it. Do they get back $360 million? No. But between the performance and the other stuff, they're going to have to live with what the back end of the contract looks like. So I'm wondering, what did you think of the marketplace? He clearly was chased by the Giants. We found out this morning the Padres came in. The Padres, the big market Padres came in late. What did you think of the marketplace?
Yeah, it's beautiful out here in San Diego. I don't know where they get the money, though. This is not a huge town. It's a mid-market town, but for them to be in here, in there, and pitching, obviously they knew they would have to go to around $400 million. You know, whether they enunciated there, whether they said it verbally, put it on paper, whatever. I mean, you know, they've already got $300 million players with Tatis and with Machado, and I mean, Soto wanted more than $440 million. So I don't know how they do it. We knew the Giants were in at $360 million for nine. We reported that yesterday that it was in that neighborhood, and it turned out to be exactly that neighborhood, that it was on that block. You know, I think that was a very logical deal for them, and it forced the Yankees to come up from $320 million. You know, I mean, you give Hal Steinbrenner credit here. He did a good job to get it done. You know, some other owner might have just thrown out a bigger number earlier and paid more or something. I don't know, but You know, as long as he gets it done, that's really what counts.
So I guess one of the things to consider with the Padres is if they're going to play in this league, at the end of this season, Manny Machado could opt out. I would assume, short of him having an injury-plagued, horrible season, he's going to opt out. You know, he was nearly the MVP this year. If he repeats that, he'll do better than 5 years at 150, which is left on his contract. The year after that, Soto's out. So, you know, you think if you go ahead and get Judge, if you're them, you at least have a guy for the long term who you're able to build around. But I guess this is the Padres now. I think the Giants were always the legitimate threat. They had made their payroll evergreen as far as what they could do. I think we probably expect them now to pivot to, like, Carlos Correa, Senga, Nimmo, those kind of players. Let's ask a question. Do you have to consider in this kind of situation how the player will age? I mean, this is 9 years. We've seen players like Pujols, Miguel Cabrera limp to the end. Or do you have to just live in the moment and whatever the back end looks like, the back end looks like?
Well, I'm sure they consider every factor. But, I mean, I think it's really impossible to predict how he's going to age. He's in outstanding shape. Obviously, we know he's 6'7", 282, but I mean, you could be 282 and be in shape, and he is. So, you know, I have no issue with that. I don't think that should have been a major factor in a long deal, and, you know, I doubt that it was. I mean, the reality of it is they needed to get this guy in here. He is the star of the team. He is the, you know, the marketing king of baseball, along with Ohtani. And, you know, you're right. They do earn a lot of extra money. Is it $360 million? We don't know. We really don't know. We don't get the books, but it's a lot of money. I understand they share the jersey money and some of that other money, but the ratings certainly went way up with Aaron Judge. And, you know, I think a factor is that he is a great guy. He is the leader in that clubhouse. I think that is huge, and that is why we are expecting them to bestow the captaincy on him. I don't think they were that was no pun with Captain C, you know, Captain C's award. You know, I don't think they were ever expecting to give that out again, but this is warranted here.
Yeah, you know, they had to move heaven, earth, a C, whatever they, a bunch of C notes, the C, everything they had to move in. To do this, John, look, the reality is there's going to be a moment soon probably where they're like, we got Stanton and Judge. We probably need to DH Judge even more and more. But in the moment, the Yankees felt they couldn't take a step backward. They're that kind of organization. Right. Maybe over the next 10 years, they would have been better taking a step backward, but they don't live in that world where they think that they can kind of, you know, take a step back to take maybe two forward. So now they have to build around him moving forward. I think we all believe they're going to try to go to the top of the pitching market with someone like Rodon. We think they're going to try to fix left field. Their preference is the contact lefty bat of Benintendi. I think if they get a good medical report on LeMahieu next month, Gleyber Torres becomes a very tradable commodity, maybe to try to fix something else. What do you think moving forward?
Yeah, I like the way you think long term. I guess I think in the moment they would be not nearly as exciting a team without Judge. I think that was part of the issue with the Giants. Not only did they go from 107 wins to a 500 team, they were fairly dull this year, and that's why they really need to do some stuff. And you're right, those players that are on the board, Senga, including Nimmo from the Mets, they'll probably look at Rodon as well.
The Giants you're talking
about. Yeah, the Giants. Yeah. The Yankees, Rodon is the key guy, I think. You know, I mean, that's the guy for them. That's the guy they've been aiming at all along. Left-hander, which they like in Yankee Stadium. They think he fits New York. You know, I think that's the key guy.
Yankees have completely thrown, like clubhouse reputation. Like, once you sign Tommy Canley and you decide you're going to put him in the same clubhouse with Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, I don't know these guys like you do.
I think that they've decided talent, talent, talent. Rodon's obviously incredibly talented guy. But, you know, I do have some thoughts about it. And I even have some thoughts about this. And maybe this is how they do it with Rodon. The Yankees with Judge last year weren't good enough. They essentially are thinking, right, if they do Benintendi, they're putting the same team back. And I think we have to come to the appreciation. Judge isn't going to be as good as Judge was last year. It's one of the, 10 greatest offensive seasons in the history of the game. If he just returns to, say, a 7-war player, 40 homers, you know, whatever, an 895 OPS.
You never know. They said that about Roger Maris in 1960, and then in 61, he hit the 61 home runs. Nobody expected him to win the MVP. I know that's before your time, not mine. But, we don't expect him to hit 62 home runs. But, I mean, I think they also probably want to please him. You know, they just brought him in here. He had opportunities to go elsewhere. They are giving him a good contract, but I think they'd like to tell him, look at our team now, And, I mean, you get Rodon. That is an outstanding starting rotation. I mean, Nestor Cortez was really good last year. Cole, fantastic, particularly in the playoffs. Severino, very talented. I mean, with Severino, the number four starter at that point, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good. So to wrap up our first segment here, John, I would ask this question. Do you think Judge was ever leaving?
I think he would have left. Yeah, I mean, we saw that quote in Time magazine where he was the Time Sportsman of the Year.
Was that a plant, though?
No, it was just, it was oddly timed.
Was that a well-timed plant?
It was oddly timed that he's...
It's a coincidence. Now, if only I believed in coincidences.
I do. I believe in coincidences. I think it was. I mean, we kind of knew he was annoyed about the fact that they revealed the first contract. And I get it. I mean, that's understandable. You know, obviously it wasn't enough to put him over the edge. You know, I never believed that going home was going to be a big lure, but San Francisco is building something good there. His parents do live in Linden. I mean, obviously, I had heard some buzz the day before that, or actually the day that it ended up happening, that there was some decent chance for the Giants. Some people were starting to hear that. Yeah, I think he was willing to go elsewhere. The Yankees were at 320. They bumped it up to 360. Had they stayed at 320, I'm not so sure they would have kept him.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll ever win the World Series, but I think he can win the World Series of poker.
He's good.
You know? Like,
he's
I think
good.
He played poker great, and because of that, he got everything he wanted. He got the number he wanted with the team he wanted. He'll even probably get that C you talked about. So it kind of worked out for both team and player to keep the marriage alive. We'll talk about one where that didn't take place with Jacob deGrom leaving and what the Mets did to counter it with Justin Verlander when we return on the show with Joel Sherman and John Heyman. Back on the show with Joel Sherman and John Heyman. John, before we even got here, Jacob deGrom left the Mets. When we were here at the winter meetings, the Mets countered by getting Justin Verlander. It's a lot of Cy Youngs in one sentence. What'd you think of deGrom leaving? We'll get to Verlander coming.
Well, you know, he obviously got a big deal, and that's what he's looking for. You can't blame him. He earned it, $185 million. The Mets weren't going to come anywhere near that. I heard they were at around $110 million. So, that's not an insult. You know, I thought that was a fair offer. I don't think it was a message to him to leave, and $185 it really blew him out of the water. So, he had probably no choice but to take that. Texas doing a lot of stuff, but you know, I think the Mets got the right replacement for him. They got a three-time Cy Young winner. He upped them by one Cy Young, and obviously they have Scherzer with three, so they've got six Cy Youngs on the team, two future Hall of Famers, and they have a chance to replicate the rotation, which was very good that they had last year. Obviously, Taijuan Walker's gone. Bassett may leave as well. They brought in Quintana, and they're still working on Senga. So if they get Senga, that'd be pretty good. If they don't get Senga, they may be taking a half a step backward.
Yeah, look, I think the whole winter, John, was signaled with DeGrom, which is teams are going to pay for great players again. DeGrom, when right, is probably the best pitcher in the sport. But also, you know, it was hard to ignore. I wrote about this. He hardly played the last 2 years.
Yep.
You know, like when we were thinking about what could Judge get? Well, here was a guy who hardly played the last 2 years. This was Judge's two healthiest years. And this guy went to like the very top of the starting pitching market for dollars pretty much. It didn't beat out where Verlander and Scherzer are on average annual, but was there. This marketplace is even teams like Texas, San Diego. We're seeing that second group of teams willing to do this. And then the Mets counter by coming back with Verlander. You know, and it was interesting to me, the initial reaction. There was some in the industry who were like, well, he's going to pitch at 40 next year. It's $43 million a year. People were treating it like he went like 10-11 with a 4.5 ERA. He just won the AL Cy Young.
And a 1.75 ERA.
The best predictor of this coming season is last season.
Right.
And he was still a great pitcher. Steve Cohen has shown he's willing, the owner of the Mets, is willing to paper over the short term as they try to build this organization back up where they have a fully formed organization, especially have some pitching come through the system. They don't have any pitching close to coming through the system. Not this year, not next year. By the way, Max Scherzer could opt out after the 23 season in the same way that DeGrom just did. You can't leave yourself naked. The Mets are playing at the very top and have an owner who could afford to try to keep him there until everything else falls in line. So that always made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of players who are 30 years old or older than that, and on short-term deals. I mean, they've got a short window at this moment. I think they can lengthen that window because they certainly have the wherewithal to spend. He said he wanted to win within 5 years, and he's trying to do that. Like I said, I would like to see Senga. From what I hear, he's a great pitcher. They seem very involved there, but there are a number of teams in on him. They give themselves a shot. They got to fix the outfield, though.
Yeah, so I think that they very much are committed to signing three pitchers. I think that was their plan. I think they're in on Senga. I think they're interested in Ross Stripling, who's still out there as a guy. I wonder, John, if they get those pitches, do they turn around and trade Carlos Carrasco and then just use either Peterson or McGill as the fifth starter and have the other one as extra with Joey Lucchese? I think that that's part of kind of their thinking plan. I do think they're in for an outfielder. And all of it said and done, I wrote about this in the New York Post in Wednesday's edition. Steve Cohn is showing the tolerance for the Steve Cohn tax, right? They went to the fourth level of this CBA. This year, it's $293 million. They're a second-time violator. So every dollar they spend over $293 is 90 cents. His tax bill, if he gets to, say, $320 million or $330, is going to be about $60 million.
Right.
So he's going to, in total payroll, if he heads where we think he's heading, it's going to cost close to $400 million for the Mets' payroll in 2023.
Yeah, I like the way you did that. I personally wouldn't call it violator. I think it's a positive that he's going over the threshold. I like that he's trying to win. Certainly,
I didn't mean that to sound pejorative.
I know you didn't.
Unfortunately, I fell into their verbiage there.
That's all right. Yeah. He's trying to win, and he's certainly got the wherewithal, and, you know, he is the richest owner. There are some owners that are worth, you know, poor guys, less than $1 billion, maybe only $900 million. It's tough to compete when you've got Steve Cohn there, but... You know, I get, because there are some other guys with multiple billions, you know, who are not doing this. So I give Steve Cohn credit, and I, looking out into San Diego, I give Peter Seidler credit, particularly give him credit because they don't have the revenue. I do think the Mets are actually losing money at this point, not as much as the Padres. They're in a race, though, who's going to lose the most money. There are a few teams other than the Marlins actually losing money now.
Look, and the Mets in some way have to keep up with things. They actually didn't win the NL East last year. They finished with the same record as Atlanta, but Atlanta won the NL East. And the Phillies, while finishing third, went to the World Series, and John, they signed Trey Turner. Again, we always have to mention it. There were the Padres trying to get Trey Turner also in the end, like they tried to get Judge in the end. So Trey Turner to the Phillies, what'd you think of that deal?
First of all, I got to mention the Padres again. I know we talk a lot about the Padres, but we just can't get over it. A.J. Preller, when he got to San Diego as a GM, one of the first things he did was trade Trey Turner, and then within minutes after doing that, it seemed like, I mean, it might have been weeks, he decided he really loved this guy. He looked at some film, and he tried to get him back right away, and he's been trying ever since. Offered more than Lindor, $342 million to get him back. As far as the Phillies, this was the guy that was pegged all along. You know, I think we all predicted that he'd go to the Phillies. They wanted a leadoff hitter. They'd like Schwarber to be in the middle of the order. Certainly when Harper is out, I mean, he's a great combination, is Turner speed and power fits them very nicely, and he wanted to be on the East Coast. I like a guy who wants to, who picks by the team. He doesn't go by the money. For me, I'd probably go to San Diego and take that $342 million.
It is sunny out there right now.
You're not a West Coast guy, so you might go to Philly. But
Is there a team in Manhattan? No. I think we always anticipated Turner would go there. We've talked ownership. John Middleton these last few years has built towards this. I think he has shown the commitment. I think that getting to the World Series, having a go for a general manager, there's no more on-the-nose general manager to me or head of baseball operations than Dave Dombrowski. He figures out what his team needs, and he goes to the top of the market and gets it. And that was true in Detroit. It was true in the year where the Marlins let him spend. It was true up in Boston, and it's true in Philadelphia. He's not like an analytics guy in the sense that, oh, we need a shortstop, but the deal is in right field, so I'm going to make the deal in right field. He went to the top of the market. You could decide who's better, Turner or Correa. They're in the same ballpark. He went and he got Turner. They needed another starting pitcher. They went and got Taiwan Walker. They've gotten Shrum. They're continuing to spend here, and that's going to be quite a little tussle at the top of the NL East again, right? Yeah. Among Atlanta, Philadelphia, and New York.
Yeah, I mean, Dave is a very straightforward guy. He's made a Hall of Fame career. You know, probably some of the analytics people are, and most people are analytics people now, are probably looking at it like, I can't believe that this guy keeps winning, but he's won with four different teams, right? He's been in the World Series, four different teams. Atlanta is curious to me. I don't think Alex Anthopoulos was even here. And, you know, are they have some stealth great move coming. I don't know. They have that shortstop opening. They could bring up Grissom, and there's some doubts about whether he's ready to be a starting shortstop. That would be a big step back from Dansby Swanson. You know, right now, I mean, Philly has improved. At least the Mets look like they're going to be back at least where they were. I mean, you know, Atlanta's got great young players. I'm not worried about them, but it's a little funny that Alex isn't here.
Why don't we wrap up our second block by talking about the shortstop market, right? You mentioned we know where one is going for sure. Turner's there. Swanson is available. Correa, obviously available. Those guys are interested. And Bogarts. What do you think of this marketplace, John?
Well, it's strong. Every market is strong, particularly pitching. But these guys are doing well, obviously. I mean, Turner could have gotten $342 million. That's pretty unbelievable. $300 is about where we pegged it.
This morning, I think you, again, try to be evergreen here. I think you reported maybe Bogarts and the Red Sox.
They're talking. Right? They're definitely talking. And they need to do something, right? You know, he's their guy.
You got to declare one lane or the other. Go one way or the other. Break it completely down or go for it.
Maybe. I don't know. To me, I don't break it down in Boston, although they've been up and down. They either win it all or they finish last.
They were in that draft lottery yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, Bogarts is the guy who makes sense for them. Swanson, I think he's been tied to the Cubs.
I think that's the team.
Yeah, probably so. His fiance plays for the soccer team, the Red Stars, Mallory Pugh. I know you're a big soccer fan.
Huge.
Huge, yeah.
Huge.
And then
that's the one where you kick it, right?
Yeah. Correa. I mean, I think the Twins are going to try. Whether they can do it, I'm not sure. But look,
Giants, right?
Yeah, that's the second thing.
You know, their GM now had him in Houston, and I think people see that connection.
Besides, you know, I didn't even think of that, but those are the two teams I picked in my predictions. I had one and two. I gave myself a little cover with a second team. I had Twins and Giants, and I did have Cubs for Swanson and Red Sox for Bogarts. We will see. Yeah. I mean, these things are easier to predict than to report sometimes, I think.
Yeah, why don't we just wrap up here. Wilson Contreras, as we're talking, you know, there's always the dangerous game when you do an evergreen podcast. It looks like he's close to going to the Cardinals, staying in the NL Central. What do you think of that?
Well, they certainly know him from the division, so they must like him very much. He's obviously an outstanding hitter. I think he's serviceable defensively. He certainly isn't Yadier Molina. So they're going the other way in terms of the strengths of the player. But overall, he's a very good player. I'm hearing $87.5 million for 5 years. Got a good contract. I don't think anybody's gotten a bad contract so far. I guess you don't sign early if you have a bad contract. You kind of wait it out. So it's a lot of money, but you know, the Cardinals certainly can afford that.
Yeah, I think by the end of this winter, there's going to be a lot of contracts that I don't like. I don't know that I'm going to dislike one more than Wilson Contreras for 5 years. I think there's nothing more important in the game than a catcher who can handle catching. I think you can win the World Series with Martin Maldonado catching.
He did. Yeah,
you know,
he did.
You can win it. You can go into the playoffs well with Austin Hedges catching. And you can change your arc if you have the good all-around catcher like Adley Rutschman or Cal Riley, you know, Kirk, Alejandro Kirk, etc. JT Realmuto in Philadelphia. I really wonder about not being a superb catcher. I think about it all the time with, you know, we will have to think about the Mets all the time with their young prospect, Francisco Alvarez. Is he going to be good enough catcher to justify the bat? I wonder about this drastic move away from a Hall of Fame level player in Molina, who's a Hall of Fame level player because he was so great defensively and controlling the game and feeling the game, to something completely different for the Cardinals.
Well, they had no choice there. He did retire, so they had to move on.
But they could have gone. I mean, you could have literally signed Austin
Right,
Hedges.
There are other guys, right? There's Hedges, right? There's Zunino, there's Barnhart. So there's a lot of those type of catchers that you talked about. Like,
I would rather have that and go find offense elsewhere.
Yeah. Or pitching. I mean, St. Louis could use some pitching. They had a good team last year.
That catcher makes the pitching better, too.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The Cubs knew Contreras best, and they never made him an offer. I mean, I don't know any.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
You know, you would wonder about that, but, You know, I don't know anything negative about him, really, to say. I think he is a very good hitter, and the metrics are solid. You know, they're solid average as a catcher. So I get it, but it's a lot of money.
Well, we'll get to see how that plays out in 2023 and moving forward, and we'll wrap up this show when we come back on the show with Joel Sherman and John Heyman. John, we talked the shortstops, we talked starting pitching, we talked Aaron Judge, obviously. The other biggest free agent left is a player we know well. We've seen him his whole career in New York, is Brandon Nimmo. What do you think about the Nimmo and his market?
Oh, it should be quite good. I mean, he had a great year last year, an OPS over 800, stayed healthy. You know, he's a very good center fielder. He's really improved his game. And, you know, if you can look at the trend, it's going up. So he's going to do well. Everybody's doing well. All the stars are doing particularly well. And, I mean, the Mets are still talking, so there's still hope that the Mets will get this done. But, of course, San Francisco still needs another outfielder. They obviously have a lot of money left. You know, I mean, the Padres are a threat for anybody. Who knows? But there are teams out there that are a threat on Nimmo. But I think he liked it in New York, and obviously Steve Cohen could get it done.
If I established the over-under at 6 years and $132 million, which way are you going?
I'm going to say it's going to go over that. It's always better to go
in
over.
In years, dollars, both.
Yes, yes.
Both.
Yes. I'm going to bet over until this market changes. I mean, you reported Aledmys Diaz got $14 million from somebody,
14
right?
plus, I think, yeah.
Right
in that ballpark.
We haven't seen many bargains. Yeah. You know, when I saw Mike Clevinger sign for $12 million, I thought, well, that's pretty high, and now it looks pretty low to me. I think that looks like the bargain. The biggest bargain was probably Tyler Anderson, 3 years, $40 million. He signed quickly, right? He had the qualifying offer and had to make a decision right away.
Or maybe 2 years at 40 for Rizzo.
Rizzo was a good deal. The Yankees, another one, Yankees had to bring a great player. He's really an underrated great player.
Yeah, you know, with Nimmo, I think that the one thing he has out there is you almost feel like any team that needs offense will be interested, because even if he gets more than the number I establish as our baseline here, it's not Judge money or the high-end shortstop money. It's going to be lower than that. He can play center field for the next few years, a dying need in the game. It's hard to find quality center fielders, leadoff, ability to get on base. And I think people still think there's untapped stuff in there, maybe a little more power than he showed. That like he's been learning baseball. He didn't play a heck of a lot of baseball as a kid. He's been learning baseball as we go along. And I think that teams are always looking for is upside. I'm not sure that there aren't teams out there who think that Brandon Nimmo's next two or three years wouldn't be his best 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's from Wyoming. They didn't have high school baseball, right? Yeah. So he started out as a great athlete who was behind. You know, he didn't know the nuances of the game, and he's catching up, and he's done a great job with it. He works hard, and you know, if you're going to bet on somebody, it's a guy to bet on. So that's why I'm going to say you're going to be a little low.
John, before we say goodbye, take it anywhere you want. Deal you've really loved so far, deal you really hate so far, deal you can't wait to see with so many free agents left out there.
Well, I can't wait to see what happens to Correa. I mean, there was a big competition between Correa and Turner, who's going to get the most, but Turner could have gotten 342. So even if Correa beats the 300 somewhere else, Turner could say, I could have done even better. The deal I liked was the Tyler Anderson with the Angels. I think the Angels are doing a good job in this market, which is very, very, very difficult. Deals I thought were too far over. I think DeGrom is based on the dependability aspect. The guy's an incredible talent, but as you said, what, 150-something innings over the last 2 years? He made $400,000 an inning last year. You know, he was right to opt out. He knew the market. Good for him. Texas loves him. To me, that was over.
Texas is doing an interesting thing. Him and Heaney, Andrew Heaney, pitched about a combined 130, 140 innings last year spectacularly.
Right.
And so they're playing the game. What if we get actually 140 to 170 innings out of both of them, you know, combined to what we did last year with Simeon and Seager? Can we actually make a run at the Astros? You mentioned the Angels have done some little things. You know, I don't see the Astros as vulnerable yet. They're still the team to beat. But the Mariners did make the playoffs last year. That division's getting a little better as we're going along here. So
Astros got Abreu. They're lengthening that lineup. You know, Murphy's still out
Jerry
there.
Jerry Jones runs the team now.
Is that right?
Oh, Jim Crane runs the team, I mean, right?
Well, yeah, he's the GM.
Owner, GM. Yeah.
Well, they're doing well so far, but, you know, I think James Click was a pretty good GM, but yeah. We'll see how it goes.
John, we're sitting here, at the winter meetings. There's a lot more work to do. I think you and I are probably going to be talking about that work a lot during the year. So I want to thank everyone for watching the show, a podcast from the New York Post. Thanks to Andrew Hartz, who's on there someplace over there, the terrific Lindsay Trainer, who helped us unbelievably get this up. Staff here from MLB Network, who helped get us on the air. Please, tomorrow, Thursday, we should be up on the Yes app. Watch us there. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or John, wherever they listen to their podcast. We love 5-star ratings. We want to stay on the air. And join us every week on the show with Joel Sherman and John Heyman.